We're going to be talking about panic attacks today. So if you have your notes, go ahead and open them up. And there are no blanks to fill out, so you can relax and listen. Make some extra notes if you want to. That's cool. One thing that you do have is space to take some notes during this case study. So go ahead and pull out some space on your paper and listen to Laura's story and see what sounds important to you. But first, I want to pray and ask for Jesus' blessing on your whole entire day and help for me right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we are overwhelmed by your love for us and the redemption that you offered to us through Jesus Christ to be brought back into a right relationship with you so that we can enjoy that love instead of look forward to your wrath. God, make us worthy of the gospel and make us equipped as we try to help other people understand how to live in your love in a way that reflects an astute understanding of the gospel. Please be with me this hour that my voice would be strong and that I would be able to remember all the things that you would like me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty, I'm going to read a case study. You guys keep some notes, see what's important. What questions would you have? What will you hope to work together on in counseling and gather some data? Okay. Laura swallowed the lump in her throat and braced herself. She knew what was coming next. She had learned how to handle these episodes at home alone, but now she was in the middle of the grocery store. Her heart was beginning to race. She was having difficulty breathing. Her mind was racing too, plus her vision was getting blurry. She tried to push her cart quickly to the checkout and get out of the store before things got worse. But the longer she walked, the more she felt like the world was closing in on her. She was so afraid, and she didn't even know why. She felt lightheaded, her heart was pounding, her fingers and toes were starting to tingle. She wondered if she was dying or getting ready to have a heart attack or going insane. She knew she wasn't going to make it to the checkout, so she ran to the back of the grocery store as quickly as she could. She could barely breathe now. She was seeing stars. She couldn't feel her hands or feet, and she knew that in about 3 seconds, she was going to start throwing up. She made it to the bathroom just in time. Afterward, she sat on the floor, laid her head on her arms, and cried. She wondered, what is wrong with me? Why am I such a mess? What am I so worked up about? She sat there crying for 15 minutes, then slowly got up, left her cart, dragged herself to her car, and drove home. Once home, she crawled into bed and slept for 3 hours. She could not keep living this way, but how could she control her feelings of panic? The next day, Laura woke up and sat on the edge of her bed. It was so overwhelming to even be awake. She tried to will herself to get up and get her day started, and then she realized she'd never finished getting her groceries yesterday. There wasn't even any coffee in the house to help her get motivated. She sat there a minute and tried to contemplate if she had the strength to face the grocery store again. Immediately, she started feeling afraid. And feeling afraid freaked her out. She hated that feeling of being out of control and not knowing how to fix the situation. Laura sat on the edge of the bed for a solid hour until there was not another second to spare and still be able to get to work on time. She quickly threw on some clothes and got in her car and headed to work. At work, her coworkers commented that she was not looking good and they questioned whether she should take a sick day. Laura shuddered to herself. The last thing she needed was to take a day off of work unpaid. She attempted to paste a thin smile to her face and then tried harder to look normal for the rest of the day. On the way home, she passed the same grocery store she'd been at yesterday, but she couldn't talk herself into being able to finish her shopping for the week. Instead, she stopped at a drive-thru and picked up a burger and fries and headed home. At home, she ate in silence and tried to shake the panicky feelings. She did everything she could to keep herself busy so she wouldn't think about how much fear she felt underlying all of her other thoughts. For weeks and weeks, this pattern became the norm. Laura woke up and sat on the edge of her bed, staring into space, wondering how she was going to get through another panicky day. She'd drag herself up to get dressed, to get to work, where she could barely concentrate until it was time to go to home. She'd stop at a drive-thru on the way home and then eat in silence by herself. This was not a great life, but it was manageable. Then one day, her mom stopped by her house to say hi. She couldn't believe what Laura looked like or the state of the house. There were stacks of unopened mail on the dining room table. There were unwashed dishes in the sink. Unfolded laundry was stacked on the sofa and chairs in the living room. Her mom was aghast. Laura explained that she just couldn't keep up with her life right now. Her mom was worried. Laura had always been great at keeping up with life. What had suddenly changed? While they were talking about things, Laura suddenly started feeling panicky. She didn't know what to do. She had never had to face this feeling around other people. While she tried to hurry her mom along to leave, the panic became overwhelming, and soon Laura was gasping for air. Her forehead started to bead up with sweat. She began to shake, and suddenly she couldn't feel her fingers or toes. Laura clutched at her chest and told her mom she was going to have to go. Her mom was frightened and whisked Laura to the local emergency room. She was so embarrassed, but all Laura's mom could think was that there was a medical emergency going on, and it was providential that she was there to help. At the emergency room, the doctor ran all sorts of tests and asked a million questions. After hours of probing and poking, the doctor declared that he could find nothing medically wrong and sent her home with a prescription for anxiety medication. Laura was so ashamed, she could barely even face her mom on the ride home. Laura's mom had no idea things were so tough for her, but she encouraged her to make an appointment right away to talk to someone about what was going on. Within a week, Laura and her mom were sitting in the office of the director of women's ministries at their church. As Laura spilled her story and mom cried softly next to her, the counselor wrote notes, asked a ton of questions, and then picked up her Bible and said, "You are in a great place. There are answers for what's going on with you, and we're going to work on solving this situation together." For the next 3 months, Laura and her mom met with her counselor, studied God's word together, talked through lots of issues, and formed a game plan for Laura to handle her life victoriously. As Laura faithfully completed her homework assignments, she began to see clear patterns and unmistakable thoughts that led to panicky feelings. She began to notice ways to impact her fearful feelings to stop a panic attack before it could get full-blown. And within weeks, she felt a lot of hope for her future. Okay, what kind of data did you gather? What are some things you observed? Yell them out. We don't have a lot of time. What'd you see?
The mom thought it was sudden.
The mom thought it was sudden. What else? Yes, it had been going on for quite a while before it happened in public. Fear under her thoughts. Yes, she was afraid of being afraid. That is a key point about panic attacks. She hasn't asked for help. Emotions rule her. What else?
She's never tracked her thoughts.
She's never tracked her thoughts.
She's trying to avoid the situations that would break back.
Yes, you guys are ready. Oh my word, you're going to be great at this. Okay. All right, panic attacks can feel incapacitating. And I'm just going to go ahead and ask. We're girls. We love Jesus. We got each other's back. Who here has ever experienced a panic attack? Yeah. It helps you to be compassionate if you understand what it feels like. We don't believe that you have to have experienced something in order to counsel them effectively, but I wrote that story for me. So when I had a preemie baby that was born at 27 weeks, and we both almost died, and we survived, and then at 6 months, life was a little normal, and I started getting panic attacks that lasted for, quite a while. And that was me. Like, I would wake up every morning and be like, oh, I cannot believe I have to do this again. It's so defeating to feel like the second you get afraid, you know you're going to end up hyperventilating in a corner where all of your worst fears come true. So they feel incapacitating. The emotions of fear and panic are really real and strong, and they seem impossible to resolve. And they often seem to come out of nowhere, and that's a clue that you have to really listen for and understand. They don't come out of nowhere. There were thoughts that led up to them. But if you've not ever paid attention to your thoughts, you have never looked at what just tapped you on the shoulder from behind to turn around and face it. Because facing it seems super freaky. Often you don't even know what you're thinking about. And suddenly you find yourself panicking. And if you become habituated to panic attacks, you may find yourself afraid of being afraid. So let's talk about problems. Most problems start small, and they're usually able to be resolved with a moderate amount of time and effort. But what happens is anxiety builds when you become fearful that you're not going to be able to resolve a problem, which is scary. What if this was the problem that there was no solution for and you had to face it? You may also fear that any potential resolution you can dream of will not be in your favor. So you are in between this rock and this hard place.